I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 571. It was so sad, I got mad at my sister.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Go gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing.
Me too. I've had coffee.
Good for you.
I feel great.
Good. That's a double good.
Fantastic. It's above a frigid which is teat, so that makes me happy.
Snow be melting? It's been
dramatically, like, extra cold. Like, the cold has been so extra in Massachusetts. I don't understand.
So.
Like, I don't get it. It makes, like, less than any sense to me how cold it is in Massachusetts, which is why the house broke. But anyway, today it feels like a freaking summer day. I just want to go outside in, like, a t-shirt and shorts and be like, yeah!
But then you go out in a t-shirt and shorts, you're like, not yet.
Not yet. It's too early. Bring it back. Bring it back. But one thing that I am excited about, and part of the reason why I'm so hype, is press registration for PAX East is open. So PAX East is feeling really real right now. We've got to finish our registrations. But I'm really looking forward to the event this year. You know, I know we touched on it before about it being 4 days. I'm actually not going to be there for the first day. I'm going to only be there for the Friday, Saturday, and the Sunday, as usual. But I'm still looking forward to it because I think that there's going to be just as many people as have been in events before. I just feel like there's going to be even more people now because of the extra day.
I agree.
And I'm just excited to, once again, be amongst our people and just play some games with each other and, like, vibe off each other. I'm really looking forward to that. So it's just feeling very real now because I got the email that was like, press registration's open. I'm like, yeah, boy. Yeah, let's do this. And hopefully I'll find out soon if I'm going to be on a panel, possibly two, which will be awesome. And so I'm just really looking forward to the event. And if you are going to be in the area, definitely make sure that you seek us out. We're really easy to find at PAX East still, unfortunately. Not a lot of diversity at the show. But, you know, they're working on it. So, hey, that's cool. That's cool. I'm going to jump right in and talk about some gaming stuff. Because I saw an announcement that I really wasn't aware of from Facebook, of all places, which really surprised me. Have you heard the news that Facebook released for gamers?
No.
So, you know you can do Facebook Live, right? Which is, yes, you can live stream from pretty much any device that connect to Facebook. So your computer or your tablet, smart device, anything that has a camera and has a Facebook app on it, you can stream to Facebook. You can also go into the settings and, like, if you're using something like OBS and even XSplit, you can set up the relay so that you can stream from another device or camera that is internet connected and do a Facebook Live. Not a lot of gamers have been taking advantage of Facebook Live. Many of them have been focused on, you know, specific platforms for gamers for streaming, you know, like Twitch and Mixer and even YouTube to a degree. But Facebook recently announced that they right now are in trial of allowing gamers to stream and put up a tip jar, which would allow people who are watching your stream to actually tip you money.
Oh, money. That thing that we all need and love
money,
and want.
That thing that we all need and want so that we can continue doing, you know, the things that we want and enjoy, like playing games online and being able to afford games to play online and afford gear to let us do those things, you know, because that is helpful. And with the recent restructure of Patreon and also, you know, the recent changes that YouTube made as far as allowing monetization in videos for people, there are quite a lot of gamers who, and really content creators, frankly, that are trying to find better platforms that allow them to get their content out there, but also, you know, let them make money. Like, we're going to lose our monetization availability at the end of this month. And it's just because, you know, we put videos out, but, and we meet the threshold for subscribers. Thank you guys, because we're over 1,000, and I love you, all of you guys who subscribe to our channel. But we don't meet the 4,000 hours of content on the channel watched every month, which is the barrier that YouTube has put out there in order to be able to monetize your videos. Now that we made a chunk of money monetizing our videos on YouTube, I think like last year in total we made like $7. But that's because, you know, the majority of the videos that we're putting out are not, one, we're not putting them out every day. Two, they're not long videos. So, you know, it's even more hard to reach that 4,000 hours of your content being watched when you're not daily putting out, you know, half hour better content. So it really is, to me, on YouTube side, a little bit of a punishment for the fledgling, new, and just building your audience content creators, because I feel like that's the stage where you most need funds coming in to keep fueling what it is that you're doing. And now YouTube's taking that away and basically is saying, like, unless you're in that crazy subscriber and doing content every day, so basically working like you were on YouTube Red, as far as a content creator goes, you're not going to be able to make funds on your videos. That's kind of sucky to me, because you kind of kill the entrepreneurial spirit there, which is why there are so many content creators looking to other channels. And I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, Facebook is testing this tip jar thing with gamers. And like I said, it's in beta right now, so there's only like, I think, like 12 or so existing game streamers who've been streaming their stuff on the platform pretty much since Facebook Live launched that have the ability. You can, there's a link out there on the site that you can use to get put on a wait list if you're a gamer and you want to be able to have that feature on your channel, or I should say your page on the platform. At some point, get it so you can do it. I'm going to be doing that for Land of Esh because I would like to stream someplace that makes it easy for people to give us money if they enjoy watching us play what we're playing. You know, you and I have been talking about, you know, what the playlist would be and the games that we would play and, you know, who would play what when. And so I like the idea of being able to do that. And it's part of the reason why I created our Mixer account. I just haven't had the chance with all the craziness that's been going on with my job and also the house bursting.
It's not on fire.
It's not on fire. It's underwater. It was underwater. Yeah. Now it's dried out from the water. Now it just has to be repaired from the water. The main reason that I was interested in Mixer is because you could put the tip jar out, and I like the idea of you or I being able to jump on our Xboxes and just go live, and whoever wants to watch it can watch it, and it shows up predominantly in the dashboard. But even at that, that's still, you know, got to get discovered and hopefully find an audience on that Mixer channel and really get regular with streaming before, you know, we probably get to a point where anybody wants to give us any money enjoying what it is that we do. So I'm really interested in this Facebook thing because that would allow anybody who admins our page, which is all of the content creators in the Esh family. So Phil the Issues Guy could stream live, Ham could stream live from the page and put up a chip jar, and, you know, everybody on the team could do it playing different games, whether it's Steam games, and it's console independent because we'd be able to use OBS to stream from PlayStation or even Switch as well as Xbox. So I'm definitely going to get us signed up, and we'll make an announcement if we do get the ability, and we'll announce whatever the first game is that we play. And it will probably be something that Sis and I play together But I just think that it's another indication that big companies are recognizing that people who do Let's Plays, that content is very valuable to the community. And there should be a way that people who are doing them, especially people who are doing them regularly, can continue to get funds so they can continue to do it. Like, Let's Plays are one of my favorite things to watch on YouTube. And even saying that, there are a core of 4 or 5 content creators that I watch their Let's Plays. And that's it. And that's who I subscribe to. I'm not always searching for new guys. What I am doing is I am searching Facebook all the time for people who are crafting funny videos and memes and just enjoyable content to consume and subscribing to their channels and watching their videos. So I kind of see Facebook as a bigger channel for us to take advantage of, because that's how I look for stuff. And I imagine that a lot of people do. So I think that if they weren't watching Twitch and Mixer and YouTube Gaming, really need to take heed. Because if this tip jar thing takes off on Facebook, with as many millions of people who use the platform every single day, Facebook could very quickly become a contender in that space for content creators.
Okay.
And could eat YouTube's lunch. Because there are a lot of content creators that are jumping boat, and because Twitch is the next big known thing that they know of, are moving to Twitch and trying to get to that partner status level so that they can be making decent money on their content creation. And if Facebook jumps up in the middle of that with an easy-to-use access platform that gives them access to millions and millions of people, that's a real game changer.
I agree, yeah.
And, you know, unlike Twitch, you know, Facebook does crack down very heavily and quite quickly on troll type and inappropriate and harassing behavior. Like, I've reported posts before and reported people to Facebook before for saying some really harmful things, and very quick have their accounts either been banned or blocked from access for, you know, 72 hours or straight up just thrown off the platform. And so there's a lot of comfort, you know, as a person of color getting ready to get into this space, knowing that it's a space that is controlled in that way. Because that's really been the main reason why we haven't gone the Twitch route. Because we built a channel and I looked at it for quite a while, a few years ago. And ultimately, the main reason why I decided not to go whole hog on Twitch for us is, especially at the time, it was still a very toxic space in the gaming community for black female gamers. Like, the female gamers on Twitch that seem to never have issues in their chats with people saying derogatory or harmful, harassing, or frankly just racist things were because they look like they were cam girl candidates.
That's a polite way of putting it.
I'm trying to be polite because I don't want to take anything away from anybody's shine, okay? Because there are a lot of people, there are a lot of women who are great-looking women and also ridiculously dedicated gamers. And they're not just cam girls. There are some cam girls, but, you know, most of the female gamers on the platform are not that. They're just hot. And, hey, more power to you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm cute. I know I'm cute. I know I'm not hot because I've been told that in our freaking giveaway video that we did on YouTube. You don't know how many comments that I had to delete because they were horrible. We were giving away an Xbox Elite controller and there were still dudes who were coming in and like, I don't know if I want to win this from a fat chick. I'm leaving out the racist thing that was in that line. And there was like 10 of those that I deleted before I finally, you know, gave up on humanity. Like, I am giving you a freaking Elite controller and you still have to comment on the fact that I'm chunky and I'm black. Wow. Just wow.
With a name like Electric Sisterhood, we didn't give you any indicator that we were most likely ladies of color.
Right. And so I'm just like, I could not process it. The logic did not fit. And you know, Twitch is notorious for not having great history in moderating that stuff out. And so I just didn't want the added headache. And so we opted to not do Twitch, which meant at the time we opted to not do streaming. You know, and we tested some Let's Play stuff with YouTube. And I was like, okay, we can do this for the monetization. And, you know, I really loved our Overcooked Let's Plays. And if you haven't had a chance to look at those, definitely check out our YouTube channel. It will take the hours of watching, thank you. But I am looking for what is going to be the home for our streaming stuff. And right now, you know, I was going back to Mixer. And I'm still thinking really heavily on Mixer because it is, there is a community there. And, you know, their moderators are, their admins are really good moderators, and they do their best to pop in whenever somebody, you know, flags that, hey, there's something in the chat that's really disturbing and we need some help. And they will ban people and pull people out for doing atrocious things. But I don't know. I'm a little more attracted to this Facebook thing just because it is a lot more open because we have so many admins on our page. You know, I like the idea of everybody being able to do it and not just you or I. So, you know, we'll see how it develops, but I do think it's interesting and I would love to hear you guys' thoughts because I don't know about you, but anytime anybody that I follow is live on Facebook, I watch that shit.
I don't. I avoid that shit like the plague.
Really?
I do.
Why?
It's really, I'm going to come off like such an asshole. Okay? So, like, I will watch some, but I never stay for the whole thing. I really don't. And I've only ever lived on Facebook once, and that was at my wedding, because I just wanted to thank everybody who I couldn't obviously invite to my wedding.
Right.
But I have not done it since then. I am never inspired to just get on Facebook and talk at people. And which I think is kind of funny because here I am sitting in an office staring at a computer and talking outwardly
to people.
So you would think that this would be something that I strive to do, and I don't. And I think it's just because if I feel the need to express something, then I will. But I worry that giving me a platform to just be like, let me go on live and be like, I ate a taco today. Like, I feel like I could be using the platform for something bigger than that. So for me, I sit there and I'm waiting for the profoundness to strike me to be like, you know what, now is the time for me to get on Facebook and to say whatever it is I'm going to say. So until that happens, I don't do it. But in my mind, I feel everybody else who jumps on Facebook Live is essentially like, I ate a taco today and I don't.
You need to follow some different stuff. So like, on Facebook, for me, I have some gamers that I follow. So when they go live, it's usually about like an event that they're about to go to, or, you know, they're setting up to do a recording of a thing, or they're doing like a live stream for charity or something like that. So I try to tune into those because that stuff's fun. There's some DJs that I follow. So like when they're throwing down a new set, there's especially this guy that I love that like you literally get to watch his journey making beats for rappers, and he does it for like an hour and a half on Friday nights. So it's just like a cool like chill out session because it's the whole process and I'm just like enamored with it. Glass blowers. There's some glass blowers that I follow. So when they're blowing new glass, I love those videos. It's very, very cathartic and also relaxing. So like maybe you should like change like some of the stuff that you follow as opposed to, because I'm with you, like the I'm going to Starbucks and I got a puppuccino. We're my pup. Those are kind of cute sometimes, but even then I'm like, your dog's not that cute.
That's just because you have a cute dog.
I do have a cute dog. My dog's so cute that sometimes I think she could break the internet. Sometimes.
She probably could.
Anyway, like I'm interested in it because I think that we might have some fun jumping on Facebook Live, streaming some game stuff that we do. So we'll see, one, if we get in, and two, if we do, we'll test it. And, you know, if you guys like it and what we're doing, then please let us know. And, you know, if you'd prefer for us to be on Mixer, we definitely want to hear that as well. Because I definitely want to make sure that whatever we do, we're going someplace and we're making ourselves accessible for you guys. Because it's not just for us. It's for you guys. So if you're like, I live the Mixer life, keep it coming, let us know. Hit us up on social and be like, do it for the Mixer. And if not, if you're like, we'd prefer to see you on Twitch, we will defend you. Let us know. because I'm going to make the final decision because we're not going to be everywhere.
Right.
Let's just make that real clear. Like, there's no way. But we're going to settle into a home, and there shall be the Esh very soon. Because I have the itch. I'm having way too much fun running through this extra content in Assassin's Creed Origin, and I just need to share my very weird journeys with people. Because I keep finding some very weird bugs now, and it's just hilarious.
Okay. Well, then,
I was running a mission, and this guy was like, I'm going to get on a camel. And he gets on a camel and literally runs into the side of the building and just keeps staying there. So we couldn't progress the mission because he's just driving this camel into this wall. And I'm like, no, go this way. So, like, I'm trying to push his sprite to the other side of the wall so that he'll keep moving. And he didn't. So I had to start a whole new mission, finish it. When I came back, he was in a different spot. And we were able to do it. I'm like, that is hilarious because he's just straight, like, gonna get this camel through a wall. And so I was having, like, all kinds of fun being like, 'tis easier to pass the camel through an eye of a needle than to get him to walk through this wall.
Now I want to see this. I want to...
I wish I had recorded it, because it was hilarious. It took me, like, 4.5 minutes of trying to push him to the end of the wall, where I'm like, he's just not going to move. So let me just run this other mission, and I'll come back. And hopefully he'll be set someplace different. And thank goodness he was. So we were able to finish the mission. But, like, there's just some fun stuff. Like, I tried to slide down a pyramid, and I ended up jumping off of it instead.
How do you not get, like, severe... But burns from sliding down a pyramid.
Oh, you would burn layers of skin as well as through your clothing if you were to slide down from the top of Giza to the bottom of the sand. But not Bayek of Siwa. He is special.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, there's no way that you could beat a hippopotamus when it's charging at you with an arrow. I just want to throw that out there. I don't care if you put an arrow through its eye socket. That hippo is still going to come and fuck your Christmas. So I have fun, like, battling hippos and lions now. I like, run and try and find where they are on the map. Like, let's see how many hippos I can take.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have really fun adventures in the game now. And I'm like, I really want to share them because, like, I have a sword that is on fire, basically. It is a burning sword. And when you hit people or animals with it, they light on fire. So the fire does damage over time. So I go crocodile hunting with my fire sword. And I, like, wait right on the bank just so that they come out of the water a little bit. Because I like hitting them with the sword so that they light on fire. And then when they back up, they put themselves out. So then they come out more aggressive. And then I'm like, fire! And they back up again. So you just have this crocodile literally playing peekaboo in the water.
Hmm.
Yeah. I find very... Because I've completed the main story. So I just go in now and find, like, what's something weird that I can do now?
The rando things.
Let me find all the cats and pet them. Because you can pet the cats in the game. So you just have to find towns where they're running around. And so I wait till I hear a meow and I just stop. And then, like... Every cat that is near me just comes running up at my feet, running past all the people in the town. They just come running to my feet. And so I wait till I have, like, 4 or 5 of them. And I'm like, yes, all the cats come to me. And then you squat down and you just start petting them. But you usually only pet one cat. So then the other cats are just, like, sitting there waiting their turn. And so then I come up with dialogue for them. Like, please, please, master, pet me. Notice me, senpai.
Okay.
I do very weird things now. Yeah. And I would like to share these things on a stream somewhere with people because I feel like it might be entertaining. Because it's damn sure entertaining for me.
It sounds, yeah.
Yeah, it's something. But yeah. If you were watching it, you'd be laughing your ass off. You're like, is this really all you were doing right now? Yes. Yes. We're traveling from town to town petting the cats.
Yes, I would in fact say that. Right. I would watch this, though. You were absolutely right.
Right.
I would, in fact, watch this.
So I will find a home because it's the random stuff like that that I enjoy sharing. Because that's the kind of random stuff that I enjoy watching. I do like watching, like, game progression through levels from beginning to end. But after you get to end game and you get to end game plus, it really is just about finding, like, all the weird random shit that you can do. And in games like Origins or, you know, hell, even Destiny, like, there's just so many random-ass things that you can do. Like, can I flip off this cliff on my speeder, on my Sparrow, and survive? Let's find out.
It sounds like you need more real-life friends.
All my friends have kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, remember the life stage. All my friends have kids, so they're busy being parents. Yeah. And then by the time they finish being parents, they're tired.
Because they've been parenting all day. Because
they've been parenting real hard all day.
Yeah.
And when I say kids, I mean kids. Not kid, kids. All my friends have kids. And the ones that don't have kids are in D.C. and they're living fabulous lives and not playing video games because they're going to fucking London. And
yeah, I've got
I have friends
I've
right
got...
now who are in Germany just because.
I would love to have that type of life. I'd love to be like, you know what, husband? Let's take off a month from our jobs and just go to Edinburgh.
Yeah. I have a friend who I used to work with. And if you're in the D.C. area, I highly recommend this. He is part of an improv troupe that created a show, and they've been traveling around. They even did a couple of dates in New York, which did really well, called Church Night. And so it's basically so it's basically a send-up of how ridiculous, you know, the extremist Catholic and Christian religions are. And Jeremy, who is super de-duper Jewish, like, looks like Woody Allen Jewish, like, just so stereotypical, plays a priest in this whole getup. It is absolutely hilarious. And so he's been able to actually parlay that as his pretty much main job. And so he's working part-time for Apple Retail. And he had a nasty throat cancer scare.
Oh, no.
And got through it. And they went back to performing Church Night. And as a celebration, they were like, we're going to go someplace. Where we're going to go? We're going to take a month off. What are we going to do? And he's like, I've never been to Brussels to eat mussels. I'm like, you don't eat mussels in Brussels. But again, Jeremy's weird. And so he and his wife and the church night crew flew to fucking Germany. And they're in Germany for the month.
Damn.
His wife got a tattoo.
Oh, man. I want that.
I was just like, my friends either have kids or they're just living extraordinary lives. Got another friend that went to Thailand for, like, 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Because she'd never been out of the States.
I'm not jealous.
Right. So they're not going to be able to play games with me because they're kind of having, like, real-life awesome adventures. And I'm waiting for my house to be livable.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, I'm petting cats in Assassin's Creed Origins. Don't judge my life. Don't judge me.
Go to Assassin's Creed. You can be any kind of cat person you want.
Exactly. I look for the cats that have spotted coats. They get pet first.
So you're picky.
I'm catist.
Okay.
So, yeah, that...
Well, then, life choices.
Yeah, I make them.
Yeah, you do.
But I will be playing more of Battlefront 2. So, you know, Lord knows what random things that I'll be able to find in that going through the campaign to engage with. So we'll see. Just be glad that I didn't bring my PlayStation, because otherwise it would just be nothing but Destiny 2.
Well, yeah. I'm out of that.
I haven't spun up a Titan yet.
I haven't gone back since I beat campaign, so clearly I got through the hype of it all and walked away.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. Like, you get through campaign, and then it's like, okay, unless you have a crew that you're regularly running around to do the nightfalls and... Because I think at the time that you went through campaign, the Strike playlist wasn't even up yet.
Yeah,
it wasn't. The Heroic Strikes and all that kind of stuff. And they're up now. And you can get some dope stuff in the Heroic Strikes. So I think they finally have heard me on the, please don't put everything in fucking Crucible.
I'm sure you're not the only one who said that, so.
And sometimes, though, I feel like I am when it comes to, like, the Destiny community. Because pretty much most places I go, everyone's like, yeah, we're running Crucible and blah, 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 and then we're going to do the raid. I'm like, yeah, call me when you get to the raid. And they never get to the raid because they stay in Crucible. I'm like,
sorry.
I go all Patty and Selma. I don't think so.
I should get back into it. I really should.
Well, whenever you want to, when I have my PlayStation, and if you just want to straight
back to having a life, I should
hit you up. When I get back to my normal setup of how my world usually works, I am down to run strike playlists and Nightfalls like crazy.
Okay.
Because I still haven't done raid. I haven't even attempted it.
So
that's what I've got on the gaming side of the world. I'm going to shut up because there's an anime that you want to talk about that I mentioned a long time ago, and I told you to watch.
You have been begging me to watch this for months. And I finally get it through my thick skull to watch it, and then my mind was literally blown. So let's get into that, shall we?
Yes, let us.
So very much like Ninja just stated, she's been telling me for months to watch The Ancient Magus Bride, which I was like, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it. Life.
Literally back in August when the OVAs first started dropping.
Yeah. And it was never, and I just want to state that it was never that I wasn't going to watch it. It was just, I think at the time that you first brought it up, I was just in a big drought where I was like, I'm not really inspired to sit through animes and figure them out. But then I did watch that horrible King's Game and went through that ordeal. And I was like, it can't get any worse than that.
Right.
And I mean, it can, but I'm not going to search for it. Because you step in poo once, shame on you. If you start looking for shit to step in, you need to go see a therapist. So I was like, let me avoid that. So finally, one night, I decide I'm going to finally sit down and I'm going to watch one episode of Ancient Magus Bride just to see if the hype is worth it. And it absolutely 100% is. And the whole time I'm watching it, my husband texts me and he's like, your sister had a point. I'm like, shut up, because I'm going to talk about it on the show eventually, and I'll have to tell her that once again, she was right. But she's not always right. I just want to specify that to you guys, because she thought I'd be interested in King's Game, and boy, the interest was for a totally different reason than good interest. That was a rage hater, really. That was a rage watcher. But anyway, so I don't want to go too much into the story of Ancient Magus Bride, because you already talked about it. So, I mean, I'll just do the scenario. Girl who feels she is useless and has been tormented her whole life sells herself into slavery. I know it sounds like last week during the government furlough. But she's dark, she's sad, she decides to sell herself because she thinks, well, one, I'll have some type of home, and, you know, if I die, okay, I really don't care. The thing about her selling herself isn't, you know, just because she's selling herself into slavery, but she has some interesting properties about her that make her rare in this universe. And they don't fully develop on what the universe and the story is until after she's been sold. But as she's being led out in chains, that, you know, and the guy's really nice about, can you breathe? Like, these are kind of heavy. And I'm like, you're about to sell me to a whole bunch of dudes, guy. Like, I don't think you should care. But clearly he's caring about the merchandise and not necessarily the soul inside of it, but whatever. And she's being sold to many, many masked people. So, of course, I'm like, oh, great, this is going to be like a hostile situation. Someone's going to torture the fuck out of her. And it's going to get gruesome and bad. But no, they're all like, mages. Mages or sorcerers or magic users. And I'm not sure if witches have been defined in the universe or anything like that yet, but that's yet to be seen. But anyway, they're all bidding on her because she is this thing called a slave beggy, which I'll talk a bit more as I talk about it, but big horned guy shows up and everyone's like, oh my god, he never comes out of the shadows. What is he doing here? And like, kind of like walks straight up to the thing and he's like, I'm going to bid this much money, which is so much money than anybody else is willing to bid on this girl. And he buys her. And, you know, and she's like, all right, well, I guess this is my life now. I'm prepared to get whipped, and I'm going to probably get beaten up and probably never have food and never have a proper bath again. And that's okay, because I'm a horrible human being, and people don't like me, so I don't care. And he, the whole time, is like, will you please lift your face up and walk with pride? Like, it's like the interaction between the two is jarring to her. And then it's obviously jarring to you, because you're kind of expected, if someone's being sold into slavery, that clearly, you know, there's a use there, and you don't know what the use is yet. And she's very timid and very anxious to see what it is that he is going to essentially set her up to do. And pretty much she's just like, you're going to be my apprentice. I'm going to teach you magic. You're going to be a mage. And she's all like, what? Really? And, like, she could see these random creatures floating around and stuff, and that's kind of part of the rarity of her. And as the series progresses, you find out that her ability is... she can pretty much generate, consume, and, like, attract magic. And she can't really control it. And the thing about that is, because of the unstableness of the absorption, the use, and all of this, that slave beggies are amazingly rare, and if you don't find a way to tame their ability to do that, they have very frail bodies, and they die really young.
Yep.
And she is currently 15 at the start of this series, and throughout it, they kind of sprinkle that, you know, if he, Elias, who's the mage who buys her, doesn't figure out how to get her to control that and regulate that, she will die by 18. She'll be lucky if she has 3 years at this point.
Yep.
And he doesn't tell her that right away, but the funny thing about Elias is that he himself isn't human, but he's not fairy either, because they do deal a lot with the fae in this anime series, and I actually think they do a really good job of mixing a lot of the fae lore into this universe. So it's, yep, it feels like it's common day, because his cottage is outside of London. There are people who wear, like, normal everyday clothes that you'd see, like, in our day. But there's all these elements of magic everywhere. Like, there's regular humans are surrounded by it everywhere, but they're just unaware of it. Though Elias does mention that sometimes children, even if they don't have the sight, are able to perceive magic and then see things. Like, he will put on a glamour if he has to go into town to buy stuff, and because his face is pretty much like a bullhead, like a skull, he'll put a glamour on so that he can walk around and do stuff, but he tries not to walk into areas that have a lot of children, because children are a little bit more perceptive to the magical world and the elements and stuff like that. Now we're on the journey of, you know, raising up Chise's esteem to make her feel like a person, and then potentially maybe teach her magic. Oh yeah, he may marry her, he may not marry her. Marry her might also be eating, because there is this weird tension where sometimes he thinks he's eaten humans, but, you know, has had the urge to, like, take a bite out of her when she sleeps, like, one time.
Yeah.
Maybe more times. It's yet to be seen. He seems genuine.
Sometimes a bitch get hungry, you know?
Like, get a Pop-Tart! Damn, don't be eating people.
And I mean, sometimes a snicker just isn't enough.
And I mean, and there's a lot going on in the setting and the universe, because you have this distinction between mages and sorcerers, where, you know, mages use the miracle of magic to make things happen, where sorcerers kind of science their magic, and they do it to, you know, enhance something for them in their own personal gain. Where, I mean, I guess some magicians do that also, but they don't make their magic. It just kind of occurs, and they're able to shape it and mold it or whatever, like out of a skill or a passion that they have. So there's a couple of other mages that we bump into in the season so far. One who works a lot with gems and stuff, and it seems like everyone's got their own motives with aligning themselves with Elias and Chise and his master, who I'm not too sure how I feel about Echoes. He's nice, but he too obviously has his own agenda for stuff, and I've always been very weary about characters who have, like, the fox face, where, like, they are always smiling, because you know that they're not always smiling. No. And if they are, then they're hiding something deeper down, and they're hiding stuff. So I'm not too sure how I feel about him just yet. I want to talk a lot about the emotional resonance that this series seems to at least invoke in me personally. And I mean, I have watched stunning, beautiful animes before that have literally taken my breath away and have definitely stunned me into silence. But there was something about, I think it's the second or third episode, where
Alias is in an area where there's, like, history of dragons, and he's teaching Chisei about, you know, dragons and their importance to the Magi and stuff. And a dragon comes out of nowhere and, like, straight up snatches her. And there's, like, a dude on him. And, of course, it's the Echoes dude that I mentioned a couple of seconds ago. And you find out that that's Alias's maester. He's the one who brought him in and taught him magic. And luckily for him, he had magical potential, so it kind of worked out. But Echoes is the guardian of whatever dragons are left. And they all go to this one area where they all, like, live and die. And Chisei at this point is still very much like, I don't care what happens to me. He bought me. He says I'm family. I'll do whatever he wants. Stockholm Syndrome, made easy. Already have it built in. She happens to meet some little fledgling dragons, and she meets a really old one by the name of Nevin. And he's pretty much a stone dragon who they live for a really long time. And when they return, and I'm using air quotes, and I know I really shouldn't because this isn't a video podcast, but apostrophes returns, they essentially, a tree sprouts from them and they return to the earth and their cycle starts anew in the form of this tree. And she's learning all of this pretty much within a day and is having this conversation with this dragon that is no longer moving and is slowly beginning to return. And at the very last moment before their life ends, they have this thing called the last dream. And she still, at this point, doesn't really get that she's literally this living conduit of endless supplies of magic and energy. And she pretty much gives Nevin his last moments in the sky because he loved to fly. And, like, he's got this great gravitas voice actor. And I'm watching it subbed, which I don't know if I would respond to it in English the same way personally, and that's not me saying I prefer sub over dub, because I've watched things both ways before. He just has this great gravitas voice, and you believe him. He sounds like that Japanese grandfather who is telling you stories about your family's legacy, and you can't help but be drawn in and listen to every word that he says. It is like the finest drops of wine, and you're just like engrossed in it. And he shares his last flight with her. Because granted, I think for her, she doesn't realize that this is all actually happening. She thinks this is all happening in her mind. It is and it isn't. But the conversation that they're having right before this all happens is very poignant. Because, you know, she realizes that these animals have such a different way of thinking about life. And how they don't fear death. They welcome it like a friend. And Nevin is completely aware, because he's read her mind, that she is very envious of those who no longer have to live, because she has suffered every day of her life. And she secretly wants it to end, and he's like, the living should never be envious of the dead. And it just hits her like a ton of bricks, like how calm he is walking into his finality, because for one, for him, he doesn't see it as an ending, because he will become again. He will return again. And, like, their cycle continues. And it was so beautifully done. And I cried like a little bitch. And I was put in my place, in my soul, over this episode. I immediately texted Ninja and was like, what the fuck did you do to me? Why did you not tell me this was going to happen? We've gone through trauma, man. Let a bitch know if she needs tissues. It was gruesome and beautiful and sophisticated all at the same time. And I was stunned into silence and, like, moved to the ugliest cry and the purging of emotion in tears. And like I said, this is, like, episode 2 or 3. Actually, I think it's 2. Now that I think about it, and I was just stunned that this happened.
So I told you that Ancient Magus Bride was amazing.
It is.
And you need to watch it.
It is.
I told you that it was deep. I told you that it was good. I told you that it was beautiful. I told you all these things. You were told.
Because, my God, I was just, in case of emergency, break glass for tissues. Yep. Let me get my snuggy pillow.
Magus Bride is amazing. It is great storytelling.
Absolutely
great. With beautiful animation. The voice work is absolutely perfect. you know, and more times than not in many animes, there are some characters where I feel like they went with a voice actor because they were available and not necessarily that they were the right tone mm-hmm. for the character. And there are also times, especially when you're dealing with something that is subbed, where the translation isn't always as powerful as it could be. And there's just because there's just some things that don't translate well from the original language into another one, really into English. There's a lot that you lose translating many languages into English. But Magus Bride very much is not so much about will they, won't they, as far as Elias and Chisei developing any kind of romantic relationship, even though that's hinted at. Really, it is very much more about both of them actually finding their humanity. And that is very deep, okay? Especially if you watch the OVAs, you learn how much Chisei has really lost. So if you watch the OVAs first, you get to understand why she was at the point where she was like, eh, I can sell myself because I have no value. And you're like, how can you, at that age, have no understanding of your own worth?
Yeah, like, she's pretty ready to just jump off a building, call it a day.
Right, and it's when you watch the OVAs, which the three are together, are called Those Awaiting a Star.
Mm-hmm.
And the OVAs happen not before where the first season begins in the regular series, but a few beats into where the series is. So around where episodes 8, 9, and 10 happen are when the OVAs actually take place. So the OVAs start at an evening where Elias and Chisei and Ruth are cleaning up Elias's office, and a delivery comes from the other mage, the chick. I can't remember her name right now.
The one who does the gems and stuff, right?
Yes.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She sends a delivery package by bird. And
of course, because that's the only way to get things delivered is via
and
bird.
And among all the things that are delivered by this bird, which are all supplies for Chisei, one of which is this book. And it is a very meaningful book to Chisei. And she has a moment, and Elias and Ruth are kind of drawn back by the face that she makes when she sees the book. And Elias is like, is there a story behind this book? And Chisei, in her very direct and kind of quiet way, says yes. And then Elias asks, do you want to tell me the story? And she's like, sure. And so then all of a sudden, Ruth comes running, and Elias, like, clears out a space and changes the lighting and through magic cleans up some of the rooms so that they can sit. And then the OVAs proceed to be Chisei remembering and telling the story of how she came to know this book and what it means to her. And it's this complete other adventure that she had before she got to the point where she sold herself and met Elias and ultimately met Ruth. But those happen to be released before the season was. So you actually got to see Ruth and Elias and see some of that connected relationship between Chisei and Elias. But it also relays some of the constant abuse that Chisei faced as a little kid when her mom died, how her mom died.
Right.
What that left her open to. And then a further adventure. And I'm not going to give away because you really should watch it. And I'm of the mind of you don't have to watch the OVA before you watch the series. Because, again, the OVA takes place further along in the timeline when the series starts. But I definitely enjoyed the first season and the beginning of the second season, which is currently running on Crunchyroll, more because I had watched the OVAs first.
Okay.
So if you haven't watched the series yet, I would say watch those Waiting a Star first.
Watch those first. Okay. Because, yeah, now I'm going to go back and watch those because I haven't watched those. And I thought they were just going to set us up.
No. Not at all.
The start of season one and not throw us into the series.
Nope.
So,
Yeah.
In all honesty, the ovas can stand on their own.
Nice. I like when ovas do that. They need to cut it. They don't. It actually works.
Exactly. So, like, and the ovas don't need to be episodes in the series. They are their own standalone thing. They are contained. It's almost like a contained short story.
Like a vignette.
From the novel. Exactly.
Okay. Because, I mean, it is just, there is so much in it. And I'm so glad that I finally got off my stubborn horse.
And listen to me?
I've been living on my stubborn horse for a while now. And I'm kind of glad I got out of my own way to appreciate this. Because there's so many things. Like, my husband, who wasn't at all interested in the show, when I had the reaction to this episode, and I was like, tonight I'm not watching anymore, but I'm going to get through a lot more in the next few days. And I thought he would just go and do his own computer thing, and then I'd go and, like, go to turn it on my computer, and he'd be like, aren't you going to watch that on the big TV? And it's like, but you're, like, doing stuff. He's like, yeah, and? I'm like, oh, you like it, but you don't want to say you like it. Like, I think it kind of, for me, feels very similar to, or it has the same emotional lilts that Spice and Wolf had for me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Like, which, by the way, Spice and Wolf 2 is currently on Crunchyroll. Okay. Let me just throw that out there. So it's a good time to come back to anime, is what I'm saying.
So I'm gonna
Spice
go
Wolf 2 is on Crunchyroll. Ancient Magus Bride is doing an amazing bang-up job on Crunchyroll.
Very similar, where you have these beings that are not human, but live among humans and don't understand humans, are then slowly taught humanity through, you know, this person that they have, like, attached themselves to. And, I mean, granted, there's still a lot to be learned about Alias, and, you know, because I know that he's not fey, but not human, and he... Or he's fey, but trapped in a shell.
He is referred to by many of the fey as the failure born.
Failure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's like, failure of what? What did you guys attempt to do? And then, can we talk
I'm
about...
I'm pretty sure Oberon did it, too.
Can we talk about Titania's titties for a minute?
Her name is Titania. She puts the tits in Titania.
But hear me out, Joe.
It's only magic. It's only magic that holds up her dress to cover her nipples.
And just that, because literally, like, her entrance, if you haven't seen it, like, she's riding on, like, this goat, and she has, like, this entourage. And, like, it's a slow pan up from the goat. And
she is the queen of the fae.
Right. You gotta give her her entrance. But literally,
she's not just gonna stroll up in a pair of jeans and a, you know, turtleneck.
Like, yo, what's up? I would love that. That'd be really funny. But anyway. But, like, here she is, you know, vines around her hair, looking glamorous as fuck. But, like, her boobies are, like, being, like, the fabric
Her boobs
is...
are ridiculous. Her boobs are ridiculous.
And, like, they're like, rocking back and forth like a lava lamp.
You know, they're rocking back and forth like boobs used to rock back and forth in, Dead or Alive, when you put your age as 99 years old.
Like, they're
that's,
like,
that's
yeah.
That's basically what happened there.
And I'm sitting there like, you know, you guys are, this shot is like 8 seconds too long, and I am now, like, entranced by the rocking of Titania's massive tits.
And that's by design. You are supposed to be enamored by Titania.
And I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
And, like, here I'm expecting Oberon to be, like, this massive, sexy, like, he could get that. And he's, like, a boy. And I'm like, okay, how did that happen? What bet did you lose? Because clearly
he's
wiser than he.
Are you trying to say that
Titania
is clearly out of Oberon's league?
Well, like physically, she absolutely, like, it totally looks like the whole Jessica Rabbit, Roger Rabbit situation.
Definitely,
but
agree.
But clearly you know that Oberon has knowledge and skill in magic that clearly would make him worthy of a bride like that. So clearly he's packing something else if it's not...
He's packing that magic sack, man.
Yeah. And he's got that wisdom. Like, he clearly likes to set things up because he knows...
Yeah, but Oberon acts very puckish.
Yes. very, very trickster. Like, yes. He'll help you, but he's going to have fun while he's helping you.
Right.
Like, and that may or may not to be to your benefit or your, you know, determine.
But again, ultimately, the story is really deep and beautiful, and the pacing is fantastic, and Magus Bride is just beautiful to watch.
So if you haven't watched it,
absolutely beautiful to watch.
Fucking do it. Fucking watch it. Fucking talk to all your friends about it. I like the first opening song a little bit better than the second one.
Mm-hmm. But they are changing gears, so that's part of the reason why that's happening.
I understand why they're doing it, yep. But like, I keep going back and I'm like, I like the first song because like, it definitely grabs your attention. It's not as jarring as When They Cry is opening, but it does have some similar pivotal like half notes where they want you to feel slightly uneasy about it. Like they want you to feel like something is beyond you a little bit, so like you feel mm-hmm. a little uneasy, and like they definitely nail that in the first yep. song here. And like I know that the second song, I think it's You, so I know we're gonna focus more on obviously Chisei's development.
Yes, and that's why there's the change. And it's yeah. a little bit stronger and more empowered because in this arc, Chisei is going to start coming out of her shell a little bit and embracing herself. So it is a change with a very specific purpose.
I mean, I think From the first episode of the second season where that other mage who shows up and, like, tries to make her a fox and she's all like, this was fun, but I'm gonna go back home. Like, she didn't even spend more than 8 minutes as a fox. Like, she could have just...
But it's only because Ruth came to her, because she was about to bolt.
Man, like, I was like, and oh, here we go!
Simply ask the question, is this really what you want? Do you want to leave home? And then that's where she had the recollection and turned back into herself and came home.
Well, no. Like, she still was like, yeah, I want to go over there now. And then, like, Ilya shows up and he's like, I can't be without you. It's too cold. And I changed my form to this weird puppy snake bird thing so I can run. And then she was like, oh, yeah. And then she, like, became human again and, like, hugged him. And I was like, okay, sure. Great.
Because Elias is home.
Well, I mean, for someone who's never had a home, what does home look like?
Elias. See?
Well,
that's what I'm getting to.
But anyway.
Can we just talk about Silky for a minute?
Man, like,
how do you not love Silky? And she's never said a word up until like the second season. And you only hear one time.
It's hilarious because the whole time I'm like, wow, I'm like, they didn't even have to hire anybody for this. And my husband's like, actually, she does have a voice actress. I'm like, so she's going to say more than like, I hope. And then, like, when we finally get, like, her backstory, I'm like, aw, shit.
I know. Maybe. It's deep and sad.
It's like, oh, my God, you're a banshee. So, like, you can't, like, use your voice because you'll hurt people. That's what banshees do. Like, so I'm like, that's why you don't say shit because you know you'll fuck shit up and you happy. So, like, because she has to live among people.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, but I'm sure there's more to it than that. But I was like, oh my god, I love that they're showing like all this stuff about fairy lore and shit. It's gonna be great for the fae yeah. communities. But it is
a very, very nice, I think, palate cleanser after getting through King's Game.
Yes.
But also, just if you're a fan of really well done fantasy anime, you really need to do yourself a favor and watch Agent Magus Bride.
So please go and do it.
Speaking of things that you can fucking avoid like the plague, do not watch Citrus.
Okay.
I have now watched 4 episodes of Citrus. There's nothing redeeming about it. Do not watch it.
Okay, great. I have no intentions of watching it.
Okay, so basically Citrus is about this young girl, blonde girl, who she and her mother are moving into a new house, basically in Japan, because her mother has gotten remarried. So there's now a merging family that's happening. But the father, the new one that she has, is out traveling. So the mom and the Yuzu, the girl, blonde, end up moving into their new home. They haven't met any of the new family yet that they married into. So you're kind of like, what kind of marriage?
Wait, how'd you get married to a family that you never even saw?
I guess married contracts. Married the dude, but hadn't married the family and, like, wasn't sure if the family was even, you know, informed about it yet. But because of the marriage, Yuzu gets to go to this really, you know, proper private girls' school and shows up very much looking gal-ish. So, not really wearing the uniform or conforming, whole lot of makeup, hair up, immediately starts getting written up for going over and violating the school code. All of a sudden, as she's making this big deal, as they're walking into the school, the president of the student council, who's a girl, because again, this is a private girls' school, comes up to her, embraces her very, very erotically, starts running her hands up and down her body, and Yuzu's like, what is going on? What kind of school is this? And is like starting to have like the heart palpitation stuff and turn pink. And you see the president like caressing and then skimming her ass. And you're like, what is going on? And you realize that, oh, she was searching for the cell phone that she put in her pocket. I'm like, you could have just gone straight for the pocket. And that's when I realized, okay, I know what this series is going to be about. And so it is a girl's love series, which I have nothing against girl's love series, but give me a good reason for it.
Yeah, like Maria watches over us.
Right. Give me a good reason. A good reason for it. And not,
hey, we're just going to be girls who touch each other.
This isn't actually going to be incest because they don't share any DNA. But it turns out that the president of the student council is the daughter of the guy that Yuzu's mom married. So they're sisters. And they get into this confrontation, and in order to shut Yuzu up, the other girl, Mei, deep throat kisses her.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm just like, okay. Right. Exactly. Why? Exactly. So it's just an excuse to basically put these two characters on each other that they love each other.
I mean,
it's just, it's
deep,
so forced.
Deep throat? Like, all up in the back
just,
of the
like,
mouth?
All up in there, leaving saliva, and so she then comes back with this smirk and is like, okay, well, that's good, and walks away. And Yuzu's there like, I think I'm in love. I don't know if I'm in love. Like, what's going on? And aren't I supposed to be your sister? And
well,
like,
I mean,
I'm like, no, stop. No.
Hey.
Just met each other for the first time.
And I'm sure this is your first kiss, so, like, now you're just all confused as shit.
Exactly.
And that's why she did it. Calm the titties.
It's so forced. So forced. And, like, you find out that Mei's in an arranged marriage, and it turns out that she's in an arranged marriage to one of the school teachers there on campus, and, like, whenever there's a break for lunch or whatever, he forces Mei around the side of a building and then just, like, deep kisses her for, like, 10 minutes, like, get her all hot and heavy, and you find out he has no interest in her. He just wants to get the marriage done and be married for a couple of years before he can bounce out to his actual girlfriend, so he can get the prestige of tenure at the school and get some money from their family because the family's well off.
Of course it is.
And you're just like, oh, come on. And so as a revenge and result somehow of Yuzu seeing this happen one day, Mei is like in their room that they share together, being quiet, doing her thing. And Yuzu brings it up that like, hey, like that's not cool and you shouldn't, you know, be forced to be in a relationship with this guy because it's not cool and I can help you out. And she's just like, mind your business. And she's like, no, I'm just saying, like, because of her family, it seemed like you were really uncomfortable. And, like, is trying to have this real conversation, and Mei just is like, I don't want to have this conversation anymore. So she pins her up against the wall and kisses her again. And you're just like, okay, so you're using sex as a weapon,
yep.
Which I really don't like.
I mean, you know.
Right.
I should...
Right, so you can avoid citrus like the plague, unless you're really just hard up for some, like, girl-on-girl action. Which,
yeah, but then I could just watch the first season of The L Word.
Yeah.
With actual
which is
women.
Much, but it's, and also witty.
Yeah, well, at least the first season is.
The first
season. No, first season is all just lesbian sex everywhere, which, hey.
There's some wit in there.
Hey,
there's some wit in the first
season. Yeah, but then they're like, let's throw more plot in season two and reduce the titties. And people were like, right. No!
Bring back the titties!
Bring back the titties! And then they came back around 4. And I was like, oh, okay, the titties are back. Good. I can't listen to all these women bitch
anymore.
It can't
just be drama all the time. I need some titties.
It's like, give me some titties, give me some butt, then give me some conflict, put it on a sandwich, toast it up real good, I'll take it with me on the bus ride home.
So you saying you need an ass and titty sandwich.
Ass and titty sandwich.
Okay, that's cool. That's, I mean, I don't disagree. Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, I won't be watching any more Citrus. I'm good.
I wonder why they call it Citrus.
I think they call it Citrus because the lead character, Yuzu, is blonde and has green eyes.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. And I know that it's based on a manga. And I tried to look at some of the manga, and the manga is definitely better. But still, I'm never comfortable in any medium where sex is being used is a violent mechanism.
Shut up, you inferior. Now I'm going to make out with you because I have the control.
Right, I don't enjoy that in any medium. So I'm just not feeling Citrus.
Okay, I will not watch it.
Because, like, it's a violent defense mechanism. I don't want to talk, so just take my tongue. No. No.
Hey, did you eat all the Oreos?
Right. Like, no. Like, if you're interested in someone, be like, I don't know what to do with these feelings, but I have to do something. I'm with you.
Right. But not be like, oh, you beat me at checkers?
Right. Like, no. What the fuck? That makes, like, less than any sense. Okay? And I not to be mistaken with angry sex, because angry sex can be good sex. Okay? I'm not a prude or anything, but, like, especially in an anime, give me a reason that it's happening and make the reason a good reason.
Well, I mean,
I'm interested in you, but I just don't know how to broach the whole thing that I'm interested in girls. That's completely different than, oh, you've seen into my real world and I don't let anybody in, so I need to distract you here. Let me sex you up.
So, but in Gravitation, they didn't really establish why Yuri was ever interested in the protagonist in the beginning, and he was very much like, I'm just gonna...
But they did in the manga. The anime is different than the manga.
But I mean, well, Yuri was cold and aloof and just used it so that he didn't have to really interact with people. He did it to keep people away. Which, I mean, but, sounds like is what she...
But in the manga, at one point, you learn, you know, that he did that because of an earlier relationship that didn't pan out, that, and that's why he started to become aloof, because he didn't feel like he could trust people. So then I have the reason. And so then it's not I'm going to sex you up to shut you up.
Right.
Mechanism. Like, right now, in Citrus, she literally uses her body and her kisses and groping when Yuzu gets too close, which makes less than any sense.
It makes no sense. Hey, stay away from me. Touches your titties. But I want you to touch my titties, no.
So that's what I say. That's what I'm like. I don't think so. Does not compute.
I don't understand why you won't let me near. Get away from me. Touch his titty. I want more titty touches, please.
There is some really great anime on Crunchyroll right now. We've talked about Magus Bride. There's also the second season of Overlord has started. So that's on Crunchyroll. Like, all of Code Geass is now on Crunchyroll. If you're into the Dragon Ball Super, it's running. I know, right? Just when you thought you were out, they pull you back in.
So we had purple monkeys that turned into yellow monkeys, and now they are blue. Green, and then we're going to get red for Christmas.
And then, you know, we're short on time, so I'm going to let this go. But next week, I'm going to be talking about a series that I just started that is absolutely super cute. And Panda, you should definitely check it out. It's called How to Keep a Mummy.
Yes, I saw that and want to start watching it because the mummy looked really cute. So I will watch it and we will talk about it next week.
And we'll talk about it next week. So if you enjoy the podcast, please make sure that you subscribe to our podcast and you hit us up on our social and let us know what you enjoy. And if there are some things that you'd like us to check out or you'd like to hear our opinions on, be sure that you do that. Starting with getting our podcast, which you can listen to directly on our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can also get through iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. We have new episodes that come out every week, so please make sure that you subscribe, listen, and definitely hit us up and let us know what you think about them. You can comment directly on the posts on our site, as well as any of the other content that we post on the website, which is a ton of really great reviews, previews, and editorials about everything nerdy, gaming, manga, anime, you name it. We're talking about it on the website, electricsisterhood.com. So make sure that you bookmark our site and visit us often. You can also get our news and reviews through the Apple News application on your iOS device. So make sure that you add us to your favorites by searching us out, Electric Sisterhood, on Apple News and hitting the little favorite icon so that as soon as we put out new content, you can get it. Because you could get it. You can also check out some of our favorite content on our social channels, starting with our Instagram handle. Please give us a like and follow. We create a bunch of different graphics and some videos and some quotes that we think are hilarious, but also when we go to events, we'll be sharing photos from the events on our Instagram at ESH News. You can also hit us up on Twitter at ESH News as well to ask us questions, as well as check out some of the content that we're creating and the stuff that we're reading, because, like, things that we find interesting, we're sharing on a Twitter feed as well from other places that we read. So make sure that you follow us on Twitter. And we're on the Facebook, too. And who knows what's going to happen with this Facebook video creator stuff. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But you can sit up on Facebook.com/Land of Esh. Everybody who's involved in the Land of Esh is creating content and sharing it there. So please give us a like. Follow us, engage with our content, share and comment, all that good stuff. We really appreciate it because it helps us reach even more people. We're tired of being the best kept secret on the internet, so help us break out because we want to break free. I'm not going to sing it, but you know.
I
almost went there, but I stopped myself.
Stop
yourself. Engage with us across our social, and if you like what we're doing, then please make sure that you check out all the content that our partners and fam are making, because there are some really creative people, starting with our friends and family over at VogNetwork.com. They've got great shows. You can also get our podcast over there as well. But definitely make sure that you check them out. Anime Jam Session, Video Game Outsiders, Bobby Blackwolf Show. Like, it's just crazy amounts of great stuff over there. And they just put up a new show. Please, please, please make sure that you hit up VogNetwork.com and listen to some great shows and let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you. Also, our homie KBD, King Baby Duck, over at B3Crew.com, another great site to bookmark some great anime and manga reviews, as well as indie music reviews, in addition to the game stuff as well. Definitely check out his podcast, No Borders, No Race. Fantastic show. You will hear some great music from artists that you don't know, but you should. So make sure that you do that. In addition, our homie Hamsterman2049, author of SmashedRook.com. He does live streams every week. He's now adding board games into the mix as well, so you definitely ought to check that out. Streams on YouTube, streams on Twitch, puts the link out every week to his show on our Facebook page. So another reason to pay attention to our Facebook page to get that link and see what Ben is streaming. You definitely want to be a part of it because it's old and new games, as well as board games now. What? And then one of my favorite humans on the planet, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's Recap and Review. The funniest recap and review show on YouTube, hands down. Great content. Definitely make sure that you check him out. His live streams are amazing, hilarious, fun. You can find him, Phil's Recap and Review, on YouTube and his website, issuesprogram.com. And last but certainly not least, rounding out our nerdy family, the dudes over at nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave. Please make sure that you give them a follow, that you bookmark all of our sites, that you check out our content and engage, and let us know what you love and what you like, and we can do more of that. So with that said, it's time to wrap up this episode. I've had a blast, and I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time, folks,
titties.